So today this is creating your mastermind, masterclass, or challenge. Now, I did not do mine as a challenge. I did mine as a mastermind. I didn't do it as a masterclass either. Again, you can look up the definitions on the challenge versus a masterclass versus a mastermind. But what we're talking about is five sessions of something. And this is how I actually, and Debbie will remember this, this is how I actually started my online academy. I didn't know exactly how to put together, you know, courses and to monetize and whatever. So what I did is I picked a topic that was close to my heart. And so I want everybody to be thinking, now I know Ruth is ahead of the game because she's already had a challenge, a five session, and you've had two now, haven't you, Ruth?
Yes.
Okay. And Sherry has done one, and Sherry is getting ready to launch her second one already. And she's monetizing it quite well. Her statistic, her numbers were actually better than average when she went back and did her testing and measuring. And so when I started, there's Linda Thomas, and Linda is doing hers. Yeah. So we'll get Linda in here. So she's in the middle of hers right now, of her first one. There's Linda. Hi, Linda. There she is.
Hey, Linda.
So, sorry, coming from another meeting.
Nope, I get it. So we were just talking about, you know, again, the whole purpose of our event today is how to create a five session something, whether it be a masterclass, mastermind, or a challenge. And are you still in the middle of your Legacy of Love project, your first launch, or is, because you're still, that's in the process. You've only done what, one or two sessions so far?
Correct.
Okay. And so Ruth has done two, Linda is in the middle of her first launch, and Sherry has completed one and is ready to do her second one, her second launch. And so with that said, I just want to share how I got started when I left the salon industry. Well, I was struggling with making a deadline when I was going to retire. Debbie, I'm going to put you on mute for a second. So when I wanted to retire, one of the things that I struggled with was picking the date to actually retire. And so I had a coach at the time, and he said, well, why are you wanting to retire? And I've told this story before, and I'll give you the quick version, is that I said, well, you know, I want to travel more, you know. Well, you're not traveling now, so, you know, why can't you go ahead and do my nails, because I was a nail tech. And then I said, oh, well, I want to spend more time with the kids. Well, the kids aren't here now. Well, I want to spend more time with Mark. Well, Mark's not here now. And finally, he just kept asking, why? Why do you want to retire? Why? And finally, I said, well, I want to retire because of my health. He goes, now you're getting somewhere. He said, so when somebody says, well, will you still just do me? You can say, no, because, you know, I'm retiring because of my health. Yes, Debbie.
You know, it was nice that you showed us that little doohickey at the top there, because Estelle just called me.
There you go.
Meeting number. So it worked.
There you go.
So she should be in sometime.
Okay, perfect. So anyway, once I realized my why was about getting my health back, that's when I decided, well, if I'm going to then launch something else, because I went to one of Carrie Oberbrunner's master classes. And his was an ongoing every Wednesday morning kind of masterclass. And when I went there, you know, he said, who is struggling with what you want to do or how you want to launch? And I was like, I am. I don't have a clue what to do or how to launch. And I know that Ruth already knows what she wants to do, and she's done a couple. And I know Linda is very clear with her message on her launch. But for some of us, we're like, I really don't know. How do I launch this? How do I do this? How do I do a five session of something to start creating that tribe? What do I do to get those founding members, you know, in on the base level? And so what I did is I said, well, I have to pick a topic that's near and dear to my heart. So I'm going to pick health. And so I came up, the book that I was reading at the time was called Fit for Life by Harvey and Marilyn Diamond. But Harvey and Marilyn Diamond, when you look back, this book was in its heyday back in the 70s. And they were on all the talk shows, and they were big business back in the 70s. And so I thought, well, I can't just steal their material and do a Fit for Life seminar because it's not my material. And so I thought, how can I weave in, you know, to become an expert on some of these topics? So I thought, well, the way I have to do it to come up with content, because I didn't have any content at the time, is I have to ask myself, what questions do I have? Because if I have the questions, chances are somebody else has the same questions. So the first thing that I thought of is what is the things that go with health? And I was thinking of things like, diet, that's a big one. Everybody's talking about, you know, eat this, don't eat that. And that was what the Fit for Life was all about, was about, you know, how much fruit to eat versus how much meat to eat versus even if you decide to not be a meat eater and go all the way toward being vegetarian. It was all about diet. But then you can add in the whole exercise piece of it. And then when you get into exercise, that just blooms into so many topics. You know, well, what about resistance training instead of just running or getting that type of exercise? What about some resistance training for, you know, to maintain your muscles? And then there was a whole section on dry brushing for gals that were losing weight and they wanted their skin to kind of keep up with their weight loss. They were like, well, what do we do for that? So I did some research because this was everything, the questions that I had, I knew other people would have as well. So what I did is I started just making just kind of an outline, just bullet points of five big major categories of my topic. So, because again, you want five, but you want the lightest one to be your fifth one because you want to have time in that fifth session to tie it all together. So you don't want to have a real heavy topic on your fifth one because what happens is you get so involved in the topic that you never get to tie it all together. And I didn't want to be really salesy. And again, we talked about that in one of our previous calls where somebody's like, oh, some of these landing pages, they're so long and it's so, you feel like they're twisting your arm to buy, you know, and you got to do it in the next 30 minutes or the deal's going to go away. And so, or you have to read and read and read and read or listen to a video or watch a video forever to even get to the price point to know if it's something that even fits your budget. And I didn't care for all of that. And so what I decided to do was I just wanted to use it to feel my audience out, see who my tribe was going to be. And so I did mine at the time on Eventbrite. I didn't have any meetup groups at the time. Facebook wasn't big like it is today. Instagram, I don't think we even heard of at that point. And so I did it on Eventbrite. And if you don't charge anything on Eventbrite, Eventbrite doesn't charge you. So I did the Eventbrite. And I just put out there that it was a five session, meetup on health and everything, health and wellness. And so folks started tapping in and I then would come on to a Zoom call like this. And I would simply present, if you will, on my topic, on my first topic. And then we would turn it into a discussion. And then I would collect questions, see? And then with the questions, that's what I would research after the call was over. And so once I had my first call and I saw what the real questions were around that topic, then I could go do my research. And I just started writing these course modules because ultimately what I did know, the clarity that I did have when I started is that I wanted to have passive income. Well, the definition of passive income means that you do all the work once, and then you can sell it over and over and over, the same piece of work. You don't have to redo it. You might want to beef it up a little bit. You might want to change it up. You might want to add some to it, but you're not starting from scratch each time. And so once I had my first session, I took that information, those questions, and I did my research and I wrote a module just on that session. So if it was just about diet, I just researched diet. And what I did is I compared all the different kinds of diets and I compared all the different kinds of calorie counts and I compared all the different apps that you could have, to keep track of your diet. And I just did all of these comparisons and that was my first module for my course. And that's when then I said, and I just did it as I went, So I said, okay, I've got my first module. I'm just going to save it on a Word document. So I just saved it. But I knew before I got too far down the road, down that path, I had to find a platform to where to place that module that folks could get to it. Well, I was pretty computer illiterate at the time. I managed to get onto a Zoom call. That was about all. And so I'm thinking, what do I do now? And so again, I started asking around, and some of the folks, they were using Thinkific, and some were using Teachable, and some were, and I'm thinking, I don't even know what any of that is. And so I just started kind of doing my research, and I knew, and here's your big tip for the day. I knew that doing something was better, doing something mediocre was better than doing nothing perfectly. Doing something mediocre was better than doing nothing perfectly. Because yeah. If we wait till we do it perfectly, we'll never pull the trigger. We'll never do it. Because we keep thinking, it's not good enough yet. So doing something mediocre is better than doing nothing perfectly. So I said, I'm going to pick one. I don't know if it's the right one. Maybe later I'll change it. Maybe later I'll decide something different. But I just need to pick one. So what I did to make my life a little easier is I kept the document on a Word program, you know, and I was using MS Word at the time. I've since switched to Google Docs. Google Docs is my favorite. And I'm moving away from MS Word over to Google Docs, but I just saved it on a Word document. That way, if later I wanted to switch to some other platform, I didn't have to try to figure out how to get it all off of this platform. And I could have that whole module all on one Word document, and I could just copy and paste it into a new platform if I chose to do that. So that was kind of my backup, was having that information on a Word document. So I chose Teachable. I then put a copy over on Teachable. Then I started playing with Teachable. Well, it looks better if I have a picture, and it looks better if I, you know, have some a better title. It looks better if I break it down into smaller paragraphs. And if I'm going to make a course, then maybe I need to at some point at the end, you know, once I get through all five of these sessions, maybe I need to have a summary section. Maybe I need to have a little quiz section where my students could take a quiz and get a certificate that they've passed that section. You know, so there's all kinds of things you can do on some of these platforms. And what I liked about Teachable or Thinkific or 101 other platforms that do courses, what I liked about it is that the platform automatically handled all of your finances. See, you didn't have to manually have somebody call you and say, I want to take your course. And you then have to get out your post-it note and write down their credit card number. And then you have to go over to your Square and punch it in because you're doing this, you know, long distance. And then you have to figure out how to mail them the course or whatever. All I had to do was give them the link, and the enroll now button was already, it was all built in. The sales page is built in right on these platforms. So all you have to do is send your folks to the platform. And then since then, I've taken it a step further and I have everything on my website. So now I send everyone to my website, and on the website, it takes them right to the platform, which has the enroll now button, and it automatically takes their credit card information. You don't see it, so that makes you not responsible for it, which I like. You don't want to be responsible for everybody's credit card numbers, because if they get hacked and you had it on a post-it note, how do they know that you're not the one that got, you know, that compromised or allowed it to get compromised? So you don't really want to be in the middle of that. And so that's why I like the Eventbrite, because Eventbrite, if you do charge for any events, Eventbrite handles all of the finances, and they take out their little commission and their processing fees, and they just dump your portion into your account. I like all of the Teachable, Thinkific, all of those kind of platforms for my courses because it works the same way. And what I liked about Teachable, and the others I'm sure do the same thing, Teachable allows you to actually see their email address. And they can, and right now with emails, you know, you've got to be careful because people do not want all this spam. And for some of you that may not have or may not be doing direct mailing yet, if people mark your email spam enough, you get a black mark each time they do that. And at some point, your email service could shut down you sending out emails if very many people mark you as spam. And so on these platforms like Teachable and Thinkific, when somebody signs up, they get the option to say, yes, I want to accept emails from this platform, or no, I don't. And so that way they get to opt out of getting any notifications from you. And that's their privilege. They're allowed to do that. And I don't know about you, but my email box is filled with stuff that I'm wondering, how in the heck did they get my email address? And so a lot of people, they just say, no. They don't want to be notified. And so I get that. And they have the option to do that on these platforms. So that's another thing I like. I don't have to handle the money. I don't have to worry about them thinking that I'm spamming them on any of my notifications, because they get to control that, not me. And so then even inside the platform, I can't even change an email address or a password. That's protected just for the student. See, so I don't have access to that either. So I like it that it protects me by protecting them. Does that make sense? It protects me by protecting the student. So that protection goes both ways. So I like that. So what I did is I just started with a topic. Then I came up with my platform. I decided to use Zoom. Then I collected all my questions and put that into my module just for that one session. I didn't write the whole thing. I just wrote for that one session. And then I uploaded that into Teachable. So now I can let it unfold. So now another week or two, you know, I was meeting once a week. And so now we go to the following week. I have a second session. I go through the same process again. So I'm only having to write one module a week. I'm not having to sit down and write a full week course. I'm letting the course write itself. And so now I'm at the second session and questions came up that I hadn't thought of, but I was able to put that into the module and then upload that into Teachable. Okay. I still hadn't published in Teachable. I still hadn't put a price on the course yet. I'm still just going through the five sessions on Zoom. Then the third session, I had my overall topic. I show up, we talk. Again, at the end, there's questions. I do my research, write my third module, then the fourth, then the fifth. Now I've got a whole five module course that matches my five session mastermind. Now, I did it for free. And so everyone that came in for free became founding members, because you always want more activity on some of your calls. It's hard to have a mastermind when one other person shows up. So it's a lot easier to have a mastermind if you have a small group of folks. So what I did is I made everyone that came, I made them part of my founding member group. Okay. Now you've got to... somewhere. You don't want to forget. Oh, Sally's got up. There she is. So anyhow, you don't want to forget who your founding members are, because you want to treat your founding members with all the graciousness of your paying students. See, you want to treat them the same. You never want to think, oh, they're not paying. You know what I mean? You want to treat them the same. And as a matter of fact, I don't pay any attention when I'm doing a call, who's a paying client and who is one of my founding members, because I know one of my founding members, I wouldn't be here if it wouldn't be for that original group that stayed with me through those first five sessions. And so I treat everyone the same, but if I start to send something out and I notice that they're not on the list, then I go, oh, I bet they were a founding member. And I can go check my founding member list and go, yeah, they're a founding member. So they get all the same privileges that my paying clients get. So anyway, that's how I got started. And so it worked so well that from there, I was starting then to invest more in real estate, and people were asking questions about real estate. And that was just a natural segue for me. And so I decided, okay, I'm going to do the real estate. And so I thought, okay, I need something catchy if you're going to do a five session of something. So I thought, well, in real estate, what are the questions? What are my questions? Well, it's how to find it. How do you find the deal? Once you find the deal, how do you fund the deal? Once you find it and fund it, then how do you fix the deal? Once you fix it, are you going to flip it or are you going to fill it? And I thought, oh, the five F's of real estate investing. How do you find it? How do you fund it? How do you fix it? How do you flip it? And how do you fill it? And so from there, all I had to do was start advertising the five F's of real estate investing, and people started signing up. And I get more signups for that group, hands down, than any other thing that I'm doing. And so when I put out an advertisement on Meetup or Eventbrite or Facebook event, whenever I put an event out there, and I say, hey, this month we're talking all, and I pick a month, the whole month, I say, this month we're talking all about flipping. Anybody that wants to flip real estate, and all the flippers come out of the woodwork because they all want to hear my panel of speakers. They want to hear the questions and answers. They all want to know about flipping. But then when I get to the filling month and I say, now this month is all about filling your real estate, I get all the landlords show up. Well, you know, how are you collecting the rent? How are you taking care of this? How are you, what do you do if you have a problem client? What do you, a problem tenant? How do you handle all that? And so each month I just focus on one topic, and then I just repeat it a couple of times a year, and it works out beautifully. And what I did, exact same thing. The first month, all I did was talk about how do you find it. And I had realtors, I had, property managers, I had wholesalers, anybody that's looking for real estate, I had them come and speak for about 10, 15 minutes on how they find their best deals. And then of course the whole group erupted into all these questions. And I was I was learning more than the group because I was learning what people wanted to know. And from there, I started writing my module all about finding the deal. So again, I just focused on just that one segment, just that one module. And then the following month, I didn't even do this weekly. This one I did monthly. The following month was all about how do you fund it? Well, I had mortgage brokers. I had lenders. I had hard money lenders. I had private money lenders. And I did this whole panel of all the ways that you could fund these real estate deals. And again, all of these investors just flocked to that meeting because they wanted to know how to keep funding coming in. Because if you're investing in real estate, you run out of money rather quickly. And so I teach a whole course on how to use other people's money to buy real estate. You don't have to use your own money. You can use somebody else's money, which is what we do when we get a mortgage. We're using the bank's money. We're just using somebody else's money. So anyhow, I teach a whole course on how to use somebody else's money to invest in real estate. So these investors were just flocking to this course. And so with that said, I just then wrote a whole module on all the different mortgages and loan options that are out there so that a newbie could take the course and go, ah, I have a general understanding now on how this works. Because again, all of my courses are focused toward newbies on how to get started. So you get the idea on how I got started doing what it is that I'm doing. And so once you do that, you'll get more clarity. If you just want to keep your five sessions as one of your ticket items, then it can just be one of your offers. And all of us in this group are also in the Build a Better Business. And so one of the things we talk about in Build a Better Business is what are your offers? What is your free to get people interested? And then how are you going to monetize that? And you want some price points for everyone because not everyone can maybe afford your one price point. So you want to start creating some products where they can, it's kind of like the Jimmy Dean sausage thing. A lot of folks aren't willing to get out their checkbook and write a check, you know, for $3,000 or for $1,500 or whatever your price points are. If they really don't know you, they want to taste it first. They want to get to know you first, you know? So when you go to Costco and you get to taste the Jimmy Dean sausage, you know, you walk out with three boxes because you're like, oh, it's pretty good. But you wanted to taste it first. So sometimes you have to make a way that they can get to know, like, and trust you before they're ready to write a bigger check. Does that make sense? And so you need some different price points so they can try you out. So they can try out some of your products and some of your services, get to know you a little bit better. That's why when we talk in the Build a Better Business, that's why it's so important to do your podcast and to have a blog, because those are ways that folks can hear your voice. They get to know, like, and trust you a little better. And then they're willing to spend some money. Does that make sense? So anyway, I started with the health, because that's where my brain was at the time. See, just do what you know. And then I segued over to the real estate, because that's where I found myself doing my research and discovered that I had a lot of questions. So obviously a lot of other folks probably have the same questions I have. And then from there, you know, I started putting together my website. So then people were like, well, Kathy, how do we do a website? And Kathy, how do we figure out, you know, what we're going to do for, you know, our different products, and how do we do a blog? How do we do a podcast? And so from there, I started with how to build a better business. And so you see where it just kind of grew with the questions that were coming at me. So with that, I want to go around and ask, how did you determine your topic? And how did you determine what you wanted your business to be about? And so I'm going to start with Sally, only because hers is all in pretty much in one lane, but she has some other ideas too that we've talked about in the past. Reach out. And so Sally, how did you determine your lane? How did you determine that? That was my biggest struggle up front.
Well, you know, I haven't started any mastermind classes at all, but, and you're right. I'm thinking Debbie, I know a perfect one for Debbie. that would make great classes. But I'm still trying to determine what would make the best classes for me. I mean, I could talk about different places, mm-hmm. and, you know, the ins and outs of traveling. I can certainly do that, going to different places. I can talk about embracing the unexpected when those things happen. And I don't know if I told you, but the little incident we had coming home from Italy, you know, missing the flight, I kept thinking, okay, how can I make this a embrace the unexpected thing? But the plus was that I experienced it. So I know that if other people experience, I can tell them, okay, this is what you do. You don't stay at the Sleep Inn in Rockaway, New York, right? It's just on better accommodations, but I can use those setbacks to provide education for people.
Absolutely. And I love it that your blog is called Embrace the Unexpected. And I like that's your overarching message, even though travel is a big part. But tell us a little bit about the other thing that you were interested in, and it can come under the umbrella of Embrace the Unexpected.
The caregiver?
Yes.
Group, if that's what you're, and that's another thing. Just reaching out to caregivers, and because caregivers often don't get a chance to express themselves or ask the questions they need to ask or take advantage of the help they need to have. And Debbie, right.
A lot of caregivers feel that it's expected that they, you know, that they have a stiff upper lip and they need a place where they can let their hair down a little bit.
And, you know, people always said, oh, Sally, you're so strong. And that's good. But where do you go with that? If people keep telling you you're so strong, how can you show any signs of weakness?
Because they've put that expectation on you, and they need a place where they can, like I said, where they can be a little more vulnerable and let their hair down, mm-hmm. and say, I'm not all together as you think I am.
Right.
And it's okay. So
they need a place.
It's okay. Yeah.
And they need a place to vent their frustrations that they can't mm-hmm. to their family members, or talk about things that have happened. They can't just do that to their family members. It needs to be somebody outside of the family.
You see, what we're talking about here is, this is where Sally is. This is the stuff that Sally is made of. Sally was a caregiver. Sally is a travel agent. This is stuff that's very personal to her that she knows about. And so this is a place where she can really help someone else that is in any of those areas. And so again, do what you know, do what you know, do what you know, and what interests you, because that's where your passion's going to come through. And your passion, is what's going to attract your tribe. And that's another tweetable point. Your passion is what's going to attract your tribe. Yes, Ruth.
When Sally was talking about the travel, I would love to see one on taking the fear out of travel. Because like Kathy mentioned, you talk to the newbies. And so, you know, like if you could take the fear out of the different scenarios.
Yes.
You know, and
I agree with that, because I hear that all the time. Oh, I don't want to leave the country in these times. Oh, there's beautiful places around the world to go.
I hear that. Yeah. All the time. I have women whose husbands won't travel overseas. They want to go overseas, but their husband, no, they won't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Debbie. She's like me.
I mean, if you would pick five topics that talks about taking the fear, eliminating fear from travel, so that your newbies knew exactly. I mean, there's always the unexpected, you know, you and I both know that, but this is what to expect. This is what to expect when you get to the airport. What do you need to have? Don't forget your driver's license or your ID.
Passport. You
know, because you're not going to get on the plane. You know, if you would be able to spell it out one by one, I think you'd have a great audience.
I just wrote that down, Ruth. So.
Let me know when you do it.
Yes, yes. And also, everyone, when they do the surveys, the surveys come back that folks are looking for a step-by-step process of whatever it is.
Right.
And that's why I did like the five F's of real estate investing, you know, and I did it in order, how to find it, how to fund it, how to fix it. Everybody wants a step-by-step process. And they will choose a clear step-by-step process over more information.
Well, you know that we get more information all the time from Google. You can just go Google something. Mm-hmm. But we need to know the progression.
Yes. And so I think that's a great point. So yeah, Sally, and I love it. And again, do what you know. And that's where Sally is. That's what she knows. And that's what she can share. And that's where she can focus on putting something together. So yes, Debbie, question.
Sally, yesterday they announced at my church, because we have a missions trip going to the Philippines next year. And they announced that they have taken away the restriction that you had to have a vaccine in order to go. And they dropped that requirement. So now it's like one country after another just keeps evolving away from that,
except China.
Except China, right. They're revolting. Yeah. They're revolting in China.
You beat me to that. They're shutting down even more.
Yeah. Well, their COVID is going up, and I don't understand why.
Now, I'd be a little cautious about everything, all the restrictions being lifted,
right?
Because it could make it shut down just as fast.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And yeah. Because I don't. Hi, Estella, by the way. It's nice to see you.
And again, see, this is all the stuff, this can go into your presentation on why people are afraid to travel, see? So this is all a part of it. So I love that idea. So Ruth, thank you for that. Debbie, thank you for your question. Yes, Estella. You're on mute, sweetie.
I had a thought also for Sally, and that is, if you could address, you know, some of the different things that people experience at different ages, you know, when they're traveling, you know, like people who are seniors versus middle age or young, that could be something else that you could talk about.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure I remember what I experienced when I was younger. I can't walk a lot farther.
Get a glass of wine, you'll remember.
That's a good idea.
One additional thought, and then we'll move on. But I think it would be great to cater to the widows and the widowers that are scared to go on a trip by themselves.
Yep. I got a lot of that.
You know,
and the baby boomers are getting older and they're starting to lose spouses. And so you're getting a whole community of those folks that we've never had this large of a community of those folks before.
Yeah.
And divorcees.
Even the widowers and the widowers. You know, it could be people like Debbie that just wants to go by herself.
Because that's one of the things I want to travel, but I'm like, I don't want to pay double fare. That's not in my budget.
Yep, there's nothing I can do about that, unfortunately. And you're right.
I know, but maybe if you're posting something on Facebook, getting ideas or something like that, I don't know. But
you know. Do you have a bestie that you could take with you?
I do not have a bestie that can afford to go where I want to go.
I get it. Now, there's a lot of solo clubs out there that they can match you up with somebody, but, you know, that's always a little scary thought, too, because you never know who they're going to match you up with on how compatible you'll be with someone as a roommate. So I have a girlfriend that they matched her up, and a couple of her matches were a disaster, but now she finally has a gal that they travel well together. And so now they're deciding to break off just the two of them and travel. So, but it was almost kind of like a dating thing. She had to kind of see who she meshed with, you know, being a roommate.
If I have two people that are traveling solo and they want to match up with somebody, I like give one of them their number so they can get together and meet and do, you know, and see if they think they're going to be compatible. Because if you're stuck with, I don't know how many times
I'm
never going to room with her again.
Yeah. I have friends I would not travel with.
Yeah.
I get it. Let's move on to Ruth. Ruth, how did you determine your topic on your 5-day challenge?
It's still a process. I mean, yes, I've zeroed in and I know Debbie has gone to it, you know, and I won't speak for her. She can tell her own thoughts on it. But and so I think that's the beginning one that I will do. And it's Relationships on Fire. And it's 5 process steps that I have learned through my experience, both personal relationships and professional relationships, that really cross all boundaries. And so that is my stepping stone. Now, I do think I will branch out and do some more. And if you guys have questions on that, we can go back to that, because I'm real big on, I'm blanking out just a minute, but assessments, you know, that help you learn yourself. And so I can see taking a 5-day challenge and zeroing in on some of these different ones. And I think that would be a really good one to do. And so I have other ideas, but I got to get off the stepping stone first and get. And I like your idea. This is regressing, but, you know, in fact, I'm saying this out loud so that you guys can hold me accountable. But starting like the second week in January, after we get through the holidays, because they're already starting looking busy, you know, of doing one, a five week one and trying that and picking the time. In fact, I think if I look back at my notes, I already have a tentative date and time to start it, but I don't have it on the top of my head right now. And just do that Relationships on Fire and start that, and then take a week or two off and either do that one again or do another one. And it may take a while for it to get some steam. And don't use that as a reflection on myself. You know, say it will come. And any of you guys that want to be founding members, let me know and I'll get you the information and so that you can be my founding members.
I think that's a wonderful idea. When I did the health one, I did it, I did 5 weeks, and then depending on how holidays fell, you know, you've got, you know, the 4th of July in there and Memorial Day, Labor Day. And so I would scoot around those weeks. But I, so sometimes I would skip 1 week, sometimes I would skip 2 weeks before I did another one. But I just continually did those 5 week sessions for a full year.
But you did different ones, right?
No, I did the same health one. And then I'd skip a week or two, depending if a holiday was in there. And I did the same one again. But I kept adding more information because I would get more questions. And then all I had to do was go back and tweak the module.
Right.
That I put into Teachable. I didn't have to rewrite it. I just maybe had to tweak it.
Right.
Perfect example. When we were talking about property management in the real estate, one of the gals, she said, well, what about syndication? And I'm like, what about what? And she goes, do you have any property in a syndicate, in syndications? And I'm thinking, I don't even know what she's talking about. So I immediately did all my research on that. I now invest in a syndication. And because I wanted to do it so I could teach my students how to do it. So I invested in a syndication and then I was able to do my research on it and I added it to that module. I didn't have to rewrite the whole module. I just had to add a section about syndication to that module. And so what I discovered is when I wrote the whole module over on a Word document, it became one big module. But once I put it over into Teachable or Thinkific or whatever platform, I found that your students want it to be more bite-sized pieces. Right. So I then started titling the different topics and breaking down that module into even maybe 10 smaller bites or 8 smaller bites. So I broke it down in the actual platform. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because your students want smaller bites. Of that. It's a lot of information to just throw it all. Plus it's a busy page when you put it all out there in one document.
Mm-hmm.
So I broke it up a little bit. So anyway, so Ruth, thank you for that. So that's perfect. Linda, tell us about your legacy of love. What made you decide that that was going to be your topic in your lane?
Well, that became pretty self-evident in that I began writing the content of the course, and then speaking to many people, and a certain number of people were able to sign up in that. This was a paid one, so they had the finances and what was going on in their world was going to work for this go-round. But I am also evolving, just as has been said by other ladies, because my bigger umbrella above the legacy of love is helping people to live a better life. And my umbrella URL is ichooseabundance.com. And so that is helping people with mindset. It can be with living healthier, better relationships, of better finances and better time freedom and better personal growth, just so many ways that we can live abundantly. Mm-hmm. And so
I love that. You see where her overarching umbrella basically can cover all of her topics.
Yeah,
I love that.
I'm not a one-trick pony. I mean, I have interests and abilities in so many areas, and I have a desire to help people in various areas. So legacy of love fits beautifully with that because it helps with relationships and finances and carrying a legacy forward. So that's abundance in so many ways. So it was a natural progression to do this first. And now it's getting the course material, you know, the overall course material exists in writing, but the fine tuning module by module, week by week is taking place as we go, because I do want to be sensitive to questions that the founding members may have that will only add greater value to the course.
I love that. I love everything that you're doing. It's your sales page is beautiful. Your funnel is beautiful. Your message is beautiful. So I love all of that. So thank you for that. And
thank you
for sharing. Yes, thank you for sharing. So I want to go on to Estella. Estella, tell us what would be your lane And how would you start your five session of something? Would it be every day? Would it be once a week? Would it be once a month? What would work for your audience? Again, enter the conversation in their minds instead of making them enter the conversation in yours. What would work for your audience?
Well, I have two things. One is just helping people understand how to get access to their rights and what are some of their rights. That would be one. The other one would be...
And that's an incredibly important message, by the way. That's a tremendously important message that our society needs to hear that today.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Particularly with, you know, all the stuff that's going on with the economy.
And with politics. And again, we're not going to have a political conversation, but that message is so important.
Knowing and protecting your rights and accessing your rights. Mm-hmm. So that could be one. Another one that's been on my heart for probably about 3 or 4 years that I've not developed yet, but I have a few things pulled up. Matter of fact, I was doing some cleaning over the holidays and ran across this. I'm like, oh my God, you need to do this. And it's out of the box. Mm-hmm. Get out of the box.
I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that.
And definitely, you know, you would be a part of that. Get out of the box. And I have a whole litany of different things that goes along with the box.
And so many topics could come under that, again, under that umbrella. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So again, do what you know, because you know what your feeling was and what your thinking was and where your heart was when you came up with that. And so go back and revisit that. Revisit what you know and where you know you were at the time. Don't try to reinvent that.
Yeah.
Go back and revisit where you were when you created that phrase.
Yeah, I got what's in the box. just so many things, you know, come to mind.
Okay.
Because I was thinking of doing it as a blog. I was not thinking of doing it as a...
Well, now here's what's fun about that. And again, I'm going to kind of blur the lines between this particular mastermind and the Build a Better Business is you can repurpose that content. So you could write the blog. That blog could actually be the start of your module that you could use for your first session of a mastermind.
Yeah. So you could knowing me, I probably need to do 3 at a time because I'll get tied up and then next week won't be nothing.
Well, you see where I'm going with that, though, is that you can repurpose that content. So it could be a blog as well. Mm-hmm. I sometimes now when I need to blog something, I'll go back to my modules and I'll just take a section. You know how I said, take your big document and break it down into smaller bites. I might take a smaller bite. For example, just that topic I wrote about syndication. That could be a blog post. See, so you don't have to pick either or. You can multi-purpose some of that content. And that way folks get to hear your voice. They get to know, like, and trust you. They get to decide, I definitely want to connect with her. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's so important. I noticed that Debbie clicked her video off. Debbie, are you with us or did you get a phone call maybe? I was going to ask Debbie her lane. I already kind of know her lane.
I'm back.
Yeah, Debbie.
Answer the phone.
Yep, I get it. Debbie, tell us your lane or lanes. I love it. and your overarching message, your overarching lane that covers everything.
You know, I have so many different avenues that actually have become very prominent more lately than before. So what I want to do is try to establish how I can put wellness and health together, but yet I have a calling to put in a little bit of spiritual love to them. And
stay true to that, because that's where your heart is and your tribe will find you.
And you're right. And I didn't really think about it until I've been listening to everybody. But the other thing that's really on my heart, and Sally and I went through this before with our friend Amy, who was working with dementia families. And lately I've been having a lot of feelings because I'm for some reason I've become very astute or into what I'm seeing. And last night I watched a movie, and it was called Our Italian Memories, but it had one of my favorite actors. Anyways, he was old, a senior, and he was progressing through the stages of dementia. And by the end of the movie, he had progressed, you know, really far, but yet family members couldn't understand. And they were very quick to blame the older sister. And that's so prevalent out there in this world. And I mean, I had that in my own situation. And I've been sitting here thinking, how can I bring this back, bring the support groups, bring back the knowledge, because it's, and I'm afraid, you know, now with the so much health-wise going on out there in the world, there are a lot of elderly people that are probably in a lot worse case with Alzheimer's and dementia. And there's a fine line between those two. I remember that. And now's the time of the year where they get lost. They're not part of things. And that's so sad, because they have just as much right to things as we do. Okay, now I'm getting...
She's getting on her soapbox. But see, this is what's important to her, and you can hear her passion. And it's the passion is what will bring your tribe. Your tribe will be attracted to that passion. So Debbie, where I see you with your overarching message of going green with Debbie Marks is that under that overarching going green, you can have all these different lanes. So you can have your homesteading lane, which is definitely tied in with better health. You know, you could even have a support group lane if you wanted to do something along that line with Alzheimer's or dementia. That still comes under your health and wellness lane. You can have all of those different lanes, and you can create like mine, where I've got the real estate, and then I've got the build a better business, and then I've got, you know, how to do a nonprofit and how to blog and how to podcast. You can have those different lanes all under that same heading, all on the same website. You just need to be able to make it very clear to your audience. Because, you know, if I click into Bob Evans, into their website, and decide that I'm going to order food, I might want breakfast, but I might want lunch. Maybe I want dinner. Well, underneath of lunch, maybe I want a salad. You know, so all I'm going to do is I just want to be able to read their website. It needs to be very clear where I click to get the information I'm looking for. So as you put that together, you just want to make it very simple to where they know where to click to get that information. But you can have all those links.
Yeah, and by your talking, and I wrote down my notes, and I can see where it'll flow together.
Mm-hmm.
Because the one thing I focused on at a presentation, because it was done with Amy, is how if you have a loved one that's living at home with dementia, how you have to look at the products that you have at home, mm-hmm. and how they think, oh, this is a piece of candy, you know, and they'll pop it in their mouth. And they just don't understand, you know. And in this movie also, it showed how he got frustrated. He got mad because he was confident in what he was saying, but it wasn't the way, mm-hmm. Where they were going.
It didn't come out the way he thought it was coming out.
Well, he said the car was over here, and she said, no, the car's over here. So she did her little clicky on her key thing so that, you know, the alarm went off, and, you know, he apologized. But the point is that there really, I can see where you can see where a lot of this all will intertwine. And it's like dementia would, like you said, be one of the top headings or mm-hmm. avenues. And I don't know if I want to put it as first or second. I'm wondering if I went to four or five, whatever. But it's something to think about. And I think I'm getting a little further.
And again, you'll get more clarity as you go. Does everybody agree with that? That as you start clarity, you get a little more clear as you start putting your products and services together. You go, now I see clearly now where this fits in. Whereas before you wanted to fit it in and you weren't quite sure where it was going to fit. And as you started to go down that path, it becomes a lot more clear. Yes, Linda.
It's a lot easier to shift your direction and adjust if you're in motion. If you're stationary, it's like, think about when you're in your car in your driveway and you're not in motion yet, you try to turn the front wheels, it's harder. So just get moving and you can adjust.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. That is so true.
That's good.
Yeah. So start first and clarity will come second, but you have to start. And Debbie, I also see one of your lanes being your legacy, because that was very important to you, was to have that legacy. Yeah, so I see that coming. When I started, I didn't plan on having a speaker's cabinet, a speaker's bureau. And I had so many requests for a speaker's bureau that I now have a speaker's bureau. And that wasn't even in my plan when I started.
Isn't it interesting how, like you said, as you go along, questions or suggestions happen and it puts another lane,
mm-hmm.
or path or for you. That's interesting analogy.
I didn't have that in mind at all, and the folks are telling me that they're getting calls. And of course Debbie's tapped in several times and picked up somebody there for on her fireside chat with Debbie Marks, which again fits right in with her lane of you know, the tide rising all ships and bringing people together and networking, and it all fits together. So that's definitely one of Debbie's legacies, is that she is helping bring folks together and get their message out. So that is so important. It's so important to have those platforms to help share the message. So I think this has been great. So again, if you could go around, if you had to pick one aha, Sally, what would be your one aha moment for today?
Oh. Ruth was my aha moment.
Okay.
And that suggestion was her suggestions were great.
Perfect. Thank you for that. And that's what masterminding is all about. So, yes. So, Ruth, what is your aha moment for today?
Just lots of little things. I have a lot of notes, but and the main reason I wanted to jump on this call today was the accountability, the push to keep moving in that direction, because it's easy to get going in different directions.
Yes, I agree. I agree. Yeah. Linda, how about you? What's your aha moment?
I'm going to say that it was helpful for that tiny reminder about collecting your content in real estate that you own and then copying it onto the platform of choice. And that way, if for any reason you need to change platforms or they go belly up or whatever, you maintain control of your original content.
Yes, that's a good point. Yeah. Yeah, somebody else gave me that tip early on and I paid attention.
I'm sorry, I missed quite a bit. I had to take a phone call, but I missed quite a bit.
Yeah, the conversation around that, Sally, was I said, when you start to write your module, your content, put it in a Word document somewhere, no matter whether you use it as a blog or in your course or whatever, but have a Word document saved somewhere so that if you need that information and it disappears from somewhere else, you have it. You don't lose your content. It may not be in the right form, you know, because once I put my stuff over on Teachable, I moved it around a little bit, but I've got the basic content still intact in my Word document. So I always start with the Word document, even when I blog. Yeah. I always start with the Word document.
I do too, actually.
Yeah, Ruth, you're on mute.
So your courses are a combination of video and text?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Because when I do a call like this, this becomes part of the mastermind course. And so what I did is I created the mastermind, which is all video. I created the course, which is all written modules. And then if you join the mastermind, you get the course for free. So you get all the written modules with all the videos. And again, that's something that Teachable does for me. I don't have to do that. I just said that I wanted to bundle when I created the mastermind and uploaded all of the videos. I said I wanted to bundle with the course. So anybody that signs up for the mastermind automatically gets the course.
But if I just buy the course, then there's not a lot of video in it.
There's not a lot of video in the course itself.
Okay.
Now, in the making, and I'll just put that out there, because so many people like audio, because they, you know, they're listening instead of reading or whatever. I have thought about, you know, when you write a book, then you have to go back and read the book into an audio. I have thought about going back and reading all of the course material into an audio and doing it in those sections. So if I add a section in the middle, it doesn't mess up the recording. And I have thought about doing that and making all of the courses audio as well. So that's on my list to explore. Yeah. Estella, what's your takeaway for today?
I had a really good one. I did not write it down. And I'm like, what was that? What was that? It was very good. but anyway, the key things was, or some of the key things anyway, was how you led off about, you know, get your topic and then, you know, identify your platform and then, just write. And I always like hearing don't worry about being perfect. Mm-hmm. Just get started. Was that you that said that, Linda, or somebody said that? Because I always think I just have to have everything together and then I, you know, never have time to put everything together, so I stay stuck. But so that was the other thing. And then seeing how what I ran across last night with the get out of the box, mm-hmm. how I can make that live.
Yeah, I like that. That you can go so many directions with that. I can't wait to see how that unfolds for you.
Mm-hmm. I just have to just remember to get it started. So that my car isn't in park and I'm trying to turn the tires.
Perfect, perfect. I like that. Debbie, how about you? What is your takeaway for today?
Well, first off, I want to tell Estelle, you know, you're talking about being stuck and you don't start, but yet you have a perfect thing to do by getting out of the box. Use yourself as an example of getting out of the box.
Good point.
and just.
That's just another whole scenario. I like that.
Mm-hmm. You know, personal experience.
Mm-hmm. Hey, that's a blog post right there.
That's a blog post right there. Mm-hmm. My mastermind sisters helped me get out the box.
Well, I had several good points. And one Estelle just made about just do something mediocre is better than doing nothing. And I like that. Mm-hmm. And you gave a lot of good suggestions when you were writing the module and how you increased each week, how mm-hmm. you took one step and after that one, then you built on it and built the next one. And you know, that's a good thought. And putting together, talking this out about doing my website and the different lanes, and it gave me more clarity when I was trying to figure out how to put those together, but put dementia in there. And And you talk about my passion, and those are my passions. And Estelle, I'm going to take your example, getting out of the box, and use myself to get out of the box and get this started. It's the only way. And by doing so, I don't care if it's not perfect. It's just got to be something. And you really drilled home on that. And
it really helps me in just seeing Linda and Sally and Ruth and of course Kathy. They're just doing it. And I'm like, what's your problem? You know?
Bingo.
So I mean, just great examples of, you know, just do it.
Yeah.
Now I do want to say this. It's hard for all of us to join everybody's 5-day challenges or masterminds or whatever we're doing because number one, there's the time commitment. Number two, there could be a financial commitment. And so anytime, if you're going to do a free one, I encourage all of us, especially if there's a free one out there, try to at least tap in and visit. I jumped into a few of Ruth's, and I want to do that for folks, but I can't commit to everyone. But anytime that I can jump in and help support, because again, it's easier to have an online mastermind when you have more people, you know, contributing their opinions and voices than it is for you to be on there with one other person and try to turn that into something. So, so please support each other. I do want to say, starting in January, we're going to skip this month. And we're going to skip December for the free meetup, which is on the fourth Friday. Write it down. The fourth Friday of every month at 10 a.m. is when somebody gets to take a turn actually doing a 5-session something. You get to take a turn. So you get to be the facilitator. So if you're a little nervous about doing that, please take a turn. We just came off of Linda doing 5 sessions for us. Starting in January, Debbie is going to do 5 sessions for us. And it's the fourth Friday of every month at 10 a.m. And so once Debbie finishes her 5 sessions, it will open it up for someone else to jump in and do that. So if you want to take a turn and see how it works or see how you feel about facilitating and getting people to participate, it's a great place to practice. Linda, did you find it helpful when you did the 5 sessions?
It was very, very helpful for me.
Good, 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 good. So anyhow, we've been through several of the folks already in that 5-session because we've been doing it for a couple of years now. But if you want to join in again, it's the fourth Friday. We're gonna skip, of course, this week, next month because of the holidays, but in January, Debbie is going to be our facilitator. starting there. So we'll start on January 27th.
And where do we go to see that?
Just go to kathybinner.com and scroll down to the calendar.
On the calendar. I got you. Okay.
Click through on the calendar and it'll take you right in. Yes, Ruth. You're on mute.
For those free ones, are you still working through that book? Everybody's presenting on that one book?
We are. We're doing the John Maxwell book, Everyone Communicates, Few Connect. And if you go to, even in the mastermind here on this one, and I'll see if I have it pulled up. Let's see if I have it. This is the actual mastermind right here. And so if you go, or is this the course? This is the course. We're in the course. So if you go to the course, it talks about everything we did today, you know, how to set the framework, choose your platform, set your price. That's what we go through. But then it says here, listen to see how it's done. Everyone communicates, few connect, replays. So there's the replays. And it says, do you want to practice being a facilitator? And again, we talk about how to welcome the mastermind members, how to do the introductions, overview on the statistics, the purpose of it, review to find the cliff notes. And then here's what we do for the Everyone Communicates, Few Connect. We do chapter 1 and 2, then we do chapter 6 and 7, and then we tie it all together on the fifth session. So all of that you'll find here. And let's see if it takes me back, because I'm actually in the course there. I'm not sure if it'll take me back. Here we go. Bear with me. I'm in the admin part. So yes, Estella, did you have a question?
Yeah, I was just trying to understand. You said it's the fourth Friday, but you do 5 sessions. So that, does that mean that Linda did 5 months?
Yes, correct.
Oh, okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. I wasn't clear about that. Okay.
Yes, that is correct. So this is what the academy looks like when you come in, and this is all the lanes. And if you scroll down and see if it'll let me scroll this far, here is the how to create, here is the free meetup right here. And if you can click through here, it'll give you all the replays. You get to hear how, and this is good for Debbie too. You'll get to hear how Linda did, because all of her replays are right there.
Wonderful. I was going to ask that. Thank you.
And then here is the course that I just showed you. And then here's what we're in today is the mastermind, which includes the course bundle. So all of that is right there. And again, that's all under the Kathy Binner International Academy, or you can just go to kathybinner.com and click through. Anyway, you don't have to buy the book, Everyone Communicates, Few Connect by John Maxwell. I put the cliff notes in there as well. And so you can just click on the cliff notes and you don't have to buy the book unless you want to.
I think I've already bought it.
Yeah, I love the book. I love it. I have the book.
But I prefer to read the cliff notes.
Yeah, but the cliff notes are there. Yep, the cliff notes are there. Yes,
Kathy.
Yes, Debbie. Uh-huh.
I put the Zoom number in the chat.
Ah, very good. Now, that's the Zoom for... The free one on the Fridays.
Friday, yes. Okay. I'm sorry.
Very good. And again, you can find that by just going to kathybinner.com and scrolling down to the calendar and click through. When in doubt, just go to the calendar on my website. I try to keep that the most current, even when we, you know, holidays and all of that. So if you're like, we're going to meet this time, are we not because of a holiday? Just go to kathybinner.com and scroll with the calendar.
Thank you, Kathy. It's been great.
Yes. Yeah. Linda, question, comment?
Yeah, I wanted to offer a word of encouragement to Estella. You were saying that you feel like, I have to have everything figured out and everything all like nailed down, and then I'll start. But what so many people who are course creators and content creators have found out is that by doing it in the vacuum of your own room and not in reaction and interaction with your soulmate clients, etc., you may find that you're barking up the wrong tree. You might write an entire course that nobody wants. So you're actually better to get out there, get the feedback, and begin creating it in alignment with what people are needing and asking for.
That is perfect.
And it takes a lot of burden off of you instead of trying to have some kind of a crystal ball that you're looking into to imagine and create everything out of nothing. The feedback is huge. And people have a lot more buy-in if they contributed their thoughts too.
Absolutely.
So you did one, you did the one that Kathy had, and you did one on your own, the Legacy of Love project?
Yeah, Kathy's was just me practicing with our group and facilitating a discussion based on that book. But the Legacy of Love is completely out of my life and my world, and just trying to help other people to have a better journey than I did.
Okay.
Gotcha. I love it. This has been great.
You did a 5-week, right? For the Legacy of Love, or 5-day?
It's actually 12 weeks.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, we are just underway.
This is one that she's in the middle of right now, and she's actually monetizing this one.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And actually, if you know of anyone who this could be helpful for, we have 1 week's meetings under our belt. We took the week off for Thanksgiving. So if someone just found out about it and said, wow, I need that, they could dive in very seamlessly at this point. So if you know of anyone, I'd be grateful if you spread the word.
And how do we spread the word? you and I are supposed to talk anyway, so.
Right, we haven't gotten that far yet because things are hectic. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's just the legacyofloveproject.com.
Gotcha.
And okay. There's buttons there to learn more.
And again, you see what Linda's doing. She's making it very, very easy for you to just go to the legacyofloveproject.com and find the information.
There's no the in the web address.
Okay. So what you want to do though is you want to make it so easy to send your audience, your tribe, to find your information. You want to make it as easy as possible. Because we're getting so much information coming at us all the time. So you want to make it super, super easy.
Right.
Guys, I've got to go. So
okay. Yes, we all do. So thank you so much for being on. And Debbie, you had one more comment real quick.
Are we going to meet on the 26th?
Of
the day after Christmas.
Oh. I have it on the calendar because the holidays are pretty much over then. I have it on the calendar because it's a great way to keep us motivated through those holiday times. So it's on there, but I get it if somebody's traveling for the holidays and you're out and about. I get that as well.
Okay, great. I'll be there.
On the calendar. Okay.
Great seeing you, Sally.
Yes, nice seeing you too.
Yes, bye, it's Sally. Good to see everyone.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Yes.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry
see
Christmas.
You at the party.
Yes, party.
Where?
Real quick, December 8th. It's a Thursday night. Linda is coming in from out of town to meet everybody in person. We are going to be at the Beer Barrel Pizza and Grill. It's a nice little restaurant at Morris Crossing by Easton at 6:00 on December 8th. Again, all that information is at kathybinner.com on the calendar.
I'm a bit of a wild card. My founding members picked Thursday night.
our
group call. So unless they all tell me that their life is crazy that date, if I get freed up because of them, I'll come. I'll stay in touch with you, Kathy, on that.
Okay. But
as of right now, I don't know if I'll be able to make it.
Okay. Well, keep me posted.
Kathy, Ed and I are planning to come.
Okay. Perfect. Perfect.
I've got to check my calendar.
I tried to put it on in a place where it was kind of central for everybody so that nobody had to drive incredibly far.
Great.
All right, guys.
See you guys.
See ya.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you, ladies. Bye-bye.